All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry and I get to be the aircraft commander today on Veterans Radio. We're very excited to have you joining us here on our program here at WAAM Talk Radio 1600. Many of you are listening to us on the internet. You can follow us on Facebook. You can also send us a tweet if you want to, and we'll try to figure out how to read those. It's kind of an exciting thing. We also, as you know, go to veteransradio.net, and you can listen to many of our programs in our archives and also podcasts of some of the other programming that we are doing that we don't get on the air all the time. I'm very excited to have you listening to us today. We've got a great program lined up. I'm going to talk a little bit about events, and then we've got a guest here to talk about a big event that's coming up on Saturday, May 14th, that we want the people in Southeast Michigan to know all about. And in the second half of the program, we've got an author who's going to be talking about Veteran Stories, a book that has been recently published by National Geographic. Guys, we're moving up in the world. And so I want to make sure that you participate in this opportunity to talk with us here on Veterans Radio. If you want to get in on the conversation, you can give us a call here at Talk Radio 1600. The number is 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. All right, so we've got a number of things that are coming up. So first of all, I wanted to remind people that the Yankee Air Museum has their American Bistro Night, and that is the 1940s dinner dance that's coming up on Saturday, April 30th, next Saturday. And the doors open at 5:30, and you can find out more about this at yankeeairmuseum.org. This is just down the road from us here right now on Talk Radio 1600 down at Willow Run Airport. This is where the bomber plant was during World War II, and they have purchased one of the old hangars, and they're in the process of refurbishing it, and they need your help to raise some money for this, so we encourage you to do that. That's Saturday, April 30th, 2016, the 1940s USO Dinner and Dance. Make sure you're there. All right, all you Vietnam veterans out there, and I know that there's a few of you that do listen, coming up on May 6th at the Ann Arbor VA, we've got the Vietnam Era Veterans Commemorative Event. And this is going to be at 9:30 at the Ann Arbor VA in the auditorium. That's B14. And there, our guest speaker is Lieutenant Colonel Charles Kettles, our good friend here on Veterans Radio, who is waiting anxiously to receive his Medal of Honor. That will be coming up in the next couple of months, I'm sure. It's already been approved, and we're anxious to I'll make a road trip down to Washington to see Charlie get that award. He's a great guy, and he's going to be the guest speaker at the Ann Arbor VA. And this is for all Vietnam veterans, May 6th from 9 until noon. There's going to be music. Commemorative pins are going to be given away, the military memorabilia, all kinds of different things. And so put this on your calendar. That's Friday, May 6th, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. The other event that I'm going to get to in a second, because I'm going to take a break before I talk about it, is the Silver Star event that we're going to be talking about after our first break that's coming up on May 14th, 2016. This, again, is also in the Ann Arbor area. A couple of years ago, actually it's been almost 5 years now, we lost our partner and very good friend, Gary Lilly. And Gary, as many of you knew, was a commercial real estate guy. He bought and sold property. And joining me on the line right now are the owners of Ann Arbor Builders. And we've got Alex Dewberry. Alex, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hello. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. And also joining us on the line is his wife, Betsy Dewberry. Betsy, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so I've kind of given a little history here of how Gary was involved in our program right from the very beginning, and that he was also involved in commercial real estate. And you've done a wonderful thing here. You've named a street after Gary Lilly. Alex, tell me, what made you do that?
Well, Gary actually started the project in the early 2004, 2005. And then the economy tanked, so it sat dormant. And then he unfortunately got killed by a hit and run. So his partner wanted to continue with the project, or at least get it sold. And then, so we bought the project and thought it would be great to name the street after Gary.
Well, it's very exciting for us, especially here at Veterans Radio, to know that he is being honored that way. He was certainly the veteran's veteran, always involved in any activity that had to do with veterans and helping out other veterans. Betsy, whereabouts is this street?
This is out off Plymouth Road as you're going toward 23, and just before you get there, there's a street on the right called Irishire, and you go down probably a quarter of a mile, and it's on the left. And let me just add to what Alex said. You know, as developers, we are responsible for coming up with a name, and we didn't even blink an eye. There was just no other name that we would have even thought of it immediately. It was Willie Lane. I mean, he basically assembled the land and started this. It was his idea. And, you know, while naming a street probably doesn't sound like a much of a big deal, we just thought it was some small way of at least recognizing, you know, his many years in the business and, you know, how he started this project. And I want to say, too, that this project is now sold out. And we've told the story to all of the owners who live on the street, and they're very, very touched and very moved by it.
Well, I was very excited to drive out there the other day, and I, you know, took a picture myself and put it up on our website for
okay.
You know, letting people know where it is and go out there and, you know, drive around a little you know, cul-de-sac that it is. And I can remember
right.
Gary talking about this project when we first started Veterans Radio. This was going to be his, you know, his big deal. And, you know, we all talk about the, you know, Mr. Big is going to come along and, you know, that's it. We don't have to work ever again in our lives. But he was so excited to put this project together. And I know he was disappointed when the, you know, when the recession hit. But I, on behalf of my partner, Bob Gould, and, you know, and the other friends of Gary, we want to thank you and Alex and, of course, Ann Arbor Builders for, you know, honoring our late partner.
Well, it certainly was the very least we can do. And I'm going to ask Alex to pop in here, if you don't mind, because he goes way back with Gary.
Okay.
Who basically helped him get a start. So, Alex, jump in here and say a couple words here about Gary.
Well, I met Gary probably early 70s when he was working with Max Weed, Weed Realty.
Okay. Oh, wow, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, so, and I've known Gary for, obviously, many years, so we've interacted on a couple of other projects and whatnot, but, yeah, I've it was really a shock.
I can remember that day. I was out of town, and my partner Bob called me, and it was one of the few times. And when I just dropped to my knees when I heard that he had been killed. It was such a shock for all of us in the Ann Arbor area. You know, in the veterans community, and I'm sure in the builders community was the same thing. Because I know the turnout at his service was, you know, amazing. And I just, again, I want to thank the two of you especially for doing this. And we're going to make it a destination point so all the people who bought those really nice houses out there are going to be wondering, what are all these veterans' cars turning around in the cul-de-sac for? But I think they'll know how important Gary was to all of us in the community.
Gary was very well known and very, very well liked. So people will remember Gary and... his name will be there for a very, very long time.
Well, again, on behalf of Veterans Radio and all of us in the local area, I thank you both very much for doing this.
Well, thank you so
much
for having us on today.
Thank you.
And quite an honor to talk about Gary and always to remember him. He truly was a great guy.
I know. I always see him running out there running with his kilt on and and so forth. So, again, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right,
I will.
Bye-bye. One of Gary's many involvements with veterans was the idea of suicide, and I know that he and many of the other members of the local veteran service organizations have helped many downtrodden and depressed veterans, have talked them out of committed suicide. And I just there was an article this morning in the New York Times, and I thought this was really timely. We've talked about suicide here on Veterans Radio numerous times, and we're trying to make a positive statement here. We know that approximately 22 veterans a day are committing suicide, which of course is an outrageous number, and we can't tolerate that at all. But this new generation of veterans has been using social media to help each other out, and they've got a new, I think it's a Facebook page, according to the article, that's called Buddy Check on 22. And every 22nd of every month, these guys send out a blast to all of their members of their various units that they were in Iraq and Afghanistan and so forth, just checking on them. And they won't let it go. They won't. If they don't hear back from somebody, they'll make personal contact, and they'll go in there and talk about this. And I'm going to try and get this started, call this guy on to be on Veterans Radio. It's E. Michael Davis, a former Army sergeant, greeted his Facebook friends one afternoon last night and says, "Buddy, check on 22. Where are my warriors?" And he gets all of these comments back, that I'm out in the yard cutting the grass and I'm doing this and so forth. And I just think it's really important. These men and women have obviously paid a heavy price in their multiple deployments. And I think that this is a great idea. And I love the one that calls back. One guy just said, it says A-OK top. This is from somebody that was in Texas. So we want to follow up on this story, and I thought maybe you would like to do it too. If you're interested, you can go to NewYorkTimes.com. It's in the, looks like it's page 21 in the national section, and it looks like a really cool article. So we're going to try and get Mr. Davis on the program in the next couple of weeks to find out more about this Buddy Check on 22. Not a bad idea for all of you veterans out there. You haven't been in contact with some of your friends lately over the last, 40, 50 years. Send them out a Facebook request and say, "Hey, how you doing?" You'd be surprised. I get a Facebook thing from a guy I was in Vietnam with 45 years ago every week. And it just feels so good to hear from Larry out there in Texas. And so check on him. Right now we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back, and we're going to find out all about this helping homeless. Let's eliminate veteran homelessness. That's the next event that we're going to be talking about coming up on Veterans Radio. We'll be right back after this quick message. And we're back on Veterans Radio, and joining me in the studio right now is a member of the Silver Star Event Committee. I guess I'd put that up there, and it is Glenn Monroe. And Glenn, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks for having us, Dale. Appreciate it.
It is a pleasure. I'm so excited for what you guys are doing. Tell us how you got involved in this event.
Okay. Well, Jordan Reese's, we're an Ann Arbor-based company. We're a medical supply, medical equipment distributor to the VA and Department of Defense. We have a headquarters here in Michigan. We've been working actively behind the scenes with a couple different veterans groups over the past couple years just to make sure that we give back to the community that we serve. Last year being the inaugural flight of Honor Flight out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And more recently, we connected with a group out of Toledo, Ohio, Veterans Matter. It's a group founded by Ken Leslie, who's been a homeless advocate in the Toledo area for the past 20 years. And Veterans Matter has a unique place in the homelessness situation here with the VA. They are actually able to expedite the deposit for a house. So the VA works a HUD VASH vouchers, so they're able to pay for a veteran's housing for a year, 90% of the veteran's housing for a year. The problem has always been getting that deposit for that veteran.
Right. Yeah, we have talked to Ken on Veterans Radio a couple of times about this. It's a great program, folks, and you just got to go to veteransmatter.org to find out more about it. But yeah, the VA does this wonderful thing about providing rent money for veteran, homeless veterans to live in apartments and houses and so forth, but they don't give them the deposit money. And so this is what this fundraiser is all about, right?
Correct. So we're holding this benefit Saturday, May 14th at Father Gabriel Richard from 6 to 9. We're selling tickets right now that are $25. Those are tax-deductible donation tickets. You get access to the silent live auction. It's going to be catered with roving appetizers by the Saline High School Culinary Arts Program. There's also going to be wine and beer available. And some of the auction items are going to be pretty nice. We're going to have some football tickets with Notre Dame and Michigan State coming up in South Bend here with a two-night hotel stay, a weekend getaway to Mackinac Island, some signed memorabilia, a David Bowie signed guitar, things of that nature. So there's a lot of good things up for charity, and every dollar, since we have nice good corporate sponsorship, and I'd like to mention Philips Respironics Healthcare is our main corporate sponsor and has allowed us to be able to basically pay for the event. So your dollars at the event go directly to Veterans Matter and housing veterans that day.
Well, I know when I met with you folks last week, I guess it was, that 100% of this $25 donation goes directly to Veterans Matter.
Correct.
So
correct.
this is unusual for many fundraisers. They usually there are fees and so forth that are involved, and I know that you and the rest of your team has been working very hard to get local people involved.
Yes, we have, and the outreach has been great, and we appreciate being out here and being able to speak to your audience today. Veterans Matter has a small administrative cost to providing those veterans the deposit, mm-hmm. but I think at 17-18% of that dollar going towards administrative costs, we've all heard recently charities that are taking much higher administrative costs. It's very nice to see that.
Well, we certainly appreciate what you are doing. I understand, in addition, we've got – this is on Saturday, May 14th, from 6 till 9 o'clock at Father Gabriel Richard High School, which is in Ann Arbor, just east of Ann Arbor, off of Plymouth Road and 23, right? You go up to the
– right next to Domino's Farms, yes. You turn actually into that entrance there.
Okay. And you mentioned that there is going to be a silent auction with great stuff.
Yep. Right. Silent auction, there's going to be some items that are going to be out there, like gift baskets and barbecue grills, and there's just so much, I can't even list it right now. But the live auction pieces, there's going to be quite a few nice event pieces there and memorabilia items. So come out and be able to give directly to Veterans Matter.
Let's suppose that I were a corporate person with a lot of money and things, and I wanted to give you some money. How would I go about helping you guys out?
Well, you can definitely reach out to us at silverstarevent.org, and there's a place there to contact us directly. You're able to give via the website, and folks that are not able to attend the event, you can text HOME, the number 4, GOOD, to 41444 and be able to give directly to Veterans Matter through the Silver Star event. So there's many ways to get involved. If you're a corporate sponsor, please reach out through the website. And if you'd like to give directly and you can't make the event, you're able to do so through the website as well.
Okay. So this is – we go to – what's the website again?
SilverStarEvent.org.
Oh, that'll explain why I couldn't find it.
We also have a Facebook page at Silver Star Event.
Okay. So, all right, here we go. SilverStarEvent.org. Now, the other one was an old people's home. Not that any of us in the room are old. Certainly not me, right? And so I can make a donation online even if I can't go to the event.
Correct. You can buy your tickets online. You'll mm-hmm. also be able to buy tickets at the door. Tickets are going quickly now that we've been out there and advertising actively for the past 3 weeks. So reserve your spot. We're expecting 200 to 250 people to join us that evening.
Wow.
And everybody's welcome.
That's great. I think that's a great opportunity. So this is the first annual Silver Star event, a benefit for Veterans Matter, to help eliminate veteran homelessness. This is what we've been talking about. And we're going to talk a little bit about this when we get into the next segment of the program, too. There are so many civilian organizations that are actively involved in trying to help out this situation. It doesn't. There seems to be no reason why there should be any place where a veteran should be homeless.
what you touched on earlier, you know, when we were speaking individually, really hit home. A lot of these guys are coming back and having to deal with so many traumas and then trying to reacclimate to life. Some of those pressures make it overwhelming to be able to become an active member of society again after mm-hmm. they've been plucked out for their time in multiple deployments in the sandbox and overseas. So it's difficult to get plugged back and acclimated to life, and a lot of these guys fall on hard times. The best part about the VA program and getting these guys housed immediately is once they have an address, you can bring all the services of the VA to bear, whether it's substance abuse, PTSD, medical care, those kind of things, job training, getting them back to a productive, healthy life, and hopefully stemming off some of that suicide.
Yes, absolutely. And also, this is not just for men, by the way, folks. This is for the women veterans, because there are a lot more women veterans out there coming back from this conflict than there has ever been.
Correct.
And, again, as I mentioned in the other part of our interview, in the next segment, we're going to be talking about some of those women and the organizations that they have put together. But I want to go back to Veterans Matter for just a moment. And in talking with Ken, I don't know if this is kind of a blind question for you, but I know his goal was to house at least 1,000 veterans by the end of the year. Do you know if we...
We've already achieved that.
Oh, that's great.
Well, fortunately, you know, I work for a company that does a lot of things behind the scenes, Jordan Reese's. but we've given over the past year about $200,000 to Veterans Matter, and Ken has kind of been our mouthpiece out there, but he has many different supporters, be it Mitch Albom in the community here, mm-hmm. Kid Rock, Katy Perry, those kind of celebrities out there supporting Veterans Matter. And he was able to cross the 1,000 veteran threshold, and that's just veterans, not including their families that they've been able to house. So I know we're well on the way. We want to get all those guys housed. We have still over 47,000 homeless veterans out there, closer to 50,000 homeless veterans that are still out there.
That's an outrageous number. You know.
It is, and it's unacceptable. That's the term I was looking for right there. It's unacceptable. Guys that have done so much. You know, my father was a Vietnam veteran. He didn't ask to be drafted, but he did. He was drafted. He served honorably. He came back, usually not to a welcome home, a lot of those guys. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we've, as a country, have stepped up and done a whole lot better on that front as far as welcoming these veterans home. But we still have an unpaid debt to get these guys housed.
Right. Well, one of the things we've always talked about here on Veterans Radio is obviously helping veterans any way that we can. And because if you want to keep a strong military, you got to take care of them. You know, you're asking them to go up and put their life on the line. And, you know, then when they get home, if they're one of the problems that so many veterans have is that they feel like they're alone. And I think that the idea of these types of projects that you've got going here, because I know that you know we are talking to many of the different universities in the area, to their student veteran groups, and inviting them to come out and support the program, and so on and so forth. And I just think that I'm so impressed with across the country with the different organizations that are stepping up to help this generation of veterans. And I know that a lot of them are being sponsored and motivated by the Vietnam era veterans, because they want to make sure that this never happens again. And so this is our goal.
It was powerful. It was powerful for me. I mean, I served in the Air Force, but hearing my father talk about his time of service and really the service coming back and trying mm-hmm. to transition into life, it's heartbreaking. And these guys shouldn't have to deal with that, and they sure as heck shouldn't have to deal with not having an address. So.
Right, because it turns out that address is really important. Again, talking to our veteran audience out there is to make sure that you have an address. Also to make sure that you register with the VA, go over there, because you are entitled to benefits, whether you know it or not. You're entitled whether you are wounded or not wounded, but you have the ability to utilize the VA's facilities, and in some of the VA hospitals are top notch. I know here in Ann Arbor we're very fortunate that we have a great hospital attached to a great university, and you can get the best of care here. So I encourage everybody to, again, mark down on your calendar Saturday, May 14th, 2016, from 6 o'clock to 9 p.m. at Father Gabriel Richard High School in Ann Arbor. Or you can go to silverstarevent.org and find out all the information, buy your tickets online, make your donation. Start throwing money at these people. They need the money, because they want to help these guys.
And come out and join us, because we're going to have a lot of veterans out there, and you're going to be able to see that support.
Okay. Well, we're There's the music. So we're coming up to the bottom of the hour. And Glenn Monroe, I want to thank you very much for being on the program and thank all of the people at Jordan Reese's and all the people at Veterans Matter. And hopefully we can make an appearance at this one. I think sounds like it would be really fun and it would be a worthwhile cause. So thanks.
Thanks, Dale. We look forward to seeing you.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. We're going to take a break here for the news. And we'll be right back with my other guest, which is Robert Miller and his book all about veteran stories. And we are back on Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, and I get to be the host today. And I'm really excited to welcome our next guest to the program. If you want to get in on the conversation, you can give us a call here at Veterans Radio at 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. The name of the book is Veterans Voices. And as you know, here at Veterans Radio, this is what we've been doing for 13 years. We tell stories. And we let you tell your stories. And so I was very excited to hear about this book, and then to find out that the author lives just down the road, I thought was really kind of cool. And so let me give you a little press release that I received, a little bit about it, and then I'll introduce my guest. So it says, Veterans Voices, Remarkable Stories of Heroism, Sacrifice, and Honor. By the way, this book is published by National Geographic, which is really kind of cool, I think. And according to Robert Duvall, all of you like Robert Duvall, right? We all do that, too. He was the colonel in Apocalypse Now. But he says, Veterans Voices is a mighty read with images that inspire the soul, giving our servicemen and women a platform to share their personal stories of resilience. It is necessary to understand our country's freedom because it's because of their courage, loyalty, and sacrifice that we can unite to preserve the important values that makes America a beacon of hope. Perfect. All right. So my guest in the studio right now is Robert H. Miller, and Rob is welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it very much.
So tell me how this book got started. I know that you are an author and a photographer. I didn't mention that to our audience, but this is what you do for a living. So tell me about it.
I do. I have actually two careers, but this is my favorite career. But basically, what happened is this all kick-started in 1994 when my father suddenly passed away. When he passed away, I knew that he was a prisoner of war. And what happened was about 3 weeks into after you bury your father and you kind of mourn, you do all this, my mom brought out this POW journal that I really didn't know anything about. And she gave it to me. And I opened it up and I literally started almost crying when I read it because it was heartfelt, it was very emotional, and it was his time when he was in Stalag 7A in Germany in a prison camp. And I didn't really understand it at the time, and I had four kids bouncing around the house at that time, actually five because my youngest was just born. And basically what happened was is that I kind of shelved the book and pulled it out. And 13 years later, I decided to read the book. And it led me on to developing a story about my dad, which was based on research, and it was called Hidden Hell, Discovering My Father's POW Diary. And at the time, I had a really unique job that allowed me to go to Europe all the time. And so what I did was I retraced my father's every step from Boston all the way. And I wrote that book, and it started my quest on understanding what veterans go through, especially my father. And it gave me a real interest in this particular topic.
I think it's interesting. We were talking just before we came on the air about this, and when I found out what my father had done during World War II, it was a very similar story. It's such an emotional thing because it's not normally the side that we see of our parents, all the insight and so forth. They're just dad. And so from that led to what came next?
Yeah, after I did that book, I actually partnered up with a gentleman named Andrew Wakeford, and I met Helen Patton, who was the granddaughter of the iconic George Patton, on the beach of Normandy on the 65th anniversary, and she heard about my book, and I started a relationship with her, but Andrew Wakeford was actually involved with her too. And Andrew's a professional photographer and a good writer. And him and I became instant friends. So over a period of a year and a half, we decided to write another book together about veterans called Portraits of Service. And that was about 80-some veterans, and we interviewed veterans from all around the world, shot a beautiful photograph, but we put these short, poignant, heartfelt stories into the book. And what happened was we are debuting the book at the book festival in New York City, the largest one, and National Geographic saw it and traced us down, and I kept turning National Geographic down for a year, but they wanted to do a book very similar but with their own natural National Geographic blending to it.
Mm-hmm.
So finally we engaged with them, which is the greatest thing ever, and we've created Veterans Voices, which will be released officially next Tuesday,
right,
April 26th. Globally.
We're ahead of the curve, folks.
Yep. Yeah, you're exactly. And it's a global book, so it'll be available all around the world where National Geographic books are sold. So it's pretty exciting.
I would think it's very exciting. It's a beautiful book. It is truly a beautiful book. And you got a really great foreword by Bob Woodruff, who has been on our program also from the Woodruff Foundation.
Yep.
He was a reporter who was injured in Iraq. I believe it was Iraq. And,
it was.
You know, set up this foundation to help veterans and to help people, especially with traumatic brain injury. And so tell me, because you've got, I forget the number of people that are in this story, in the book itself, but how did you talk to each one of them in person, or was it by phone, or how did this work?
No, everybody was vetted out and researched. We have a selection of people and veterans in the book, male, female, homeless, non-homeless, everyday people, and also some very well-known people like actor Chuck Norris and Michael Humphreys, who was the child star for the young Forrest Gump.
Right. I read that this morning. I said, oh, I know that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. And really, everybody was talked to or visited and interviewed and photographed. But we did, Andrew and I have had the pleasure of almost 600 veteran interviews in the last 5.5 years. So we were looking for unusual stories, but we were, one, looking with our editors at National Geographic that we could convey a total story package. And in there, for example, Glenn, who was just on your show, talked about the male homeless. Well, we actually have female homeless veterans, and most of the people don't know, but there's about 11,800 homeless female veterans at one time on the streets of this country. And we have their individual stories as well. So there's a great mix of veterans. There's tons of interest in every one of their stories on how much pain and post-traumatic stress that has been really involved with them. And every one is heart-moving in my estimation.
What I like about it is it isn't all of the big-named veterans that we may have heard of in the past or may have, you know, heard recently. It's about the ordinary people, as we always say in this program, who have done extraordinary things in the service of their country. And you mentioned the idea of the homeless women veterans, and you've got a story in here. As soon as I can find her name here, it looks like Jazz Booth.
Yes.
Right? Tell me about Jazz Booth.
Wow, Jazz. Jazz is a very good friend now because we communicate probably monthly and we stay in touch. But Jazz actually was going to be deployed to Kosovo, and she was living in New Orleans. And what happened was she just was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, and she was serving in the military. Well, Hurricane Katrina came in and slammed in, and she became instantly homeless and lost everything.
Wow.
Along with having a young child, she was divorced, and she literally became homeless. And then she was going to be deployed but couldn't. So a long story short there, Jazz was faced with a terrible situation of being homeless because she was not on active duty, and she kind of fell between the cracks. And what happened was she started an organization called Final Salute. And what she was concerned about was having other female veterans not be in this situation, whether they've been deployed or they come home and they're not, you know, maybe they're only on reserves, but they don't have a mechanism in place because their education's not high enough, whatever mm-hmm. the case might be. And she has started a tremendously good organization with three houses now, very large houses that have been donated. And she takes in female homeless veterans and puts them on the feet, help them to get jobs, does any education and training, gives them some living quarters, and then they go ahead and start to, you know, get their lives organized. So Jazz has been a really beacon for this type of thing, and she gives everything to everybody else and actually puts herself second. But she's an amazing person. And Oprah Winfrey has acknowledged her and given her a special award for all the things that she's done. So she's quite a gal.
I need to point out that all of these veterans are not just recent veterans. You've got World War II, you've got Korea, you've got Vietnam, you've got Iraq, Afghanistan, you've got the first Gulf War, you've got Kosovo, you've got everything. It's all across the spectrum, and many of them I found really surprising because I didn't even know that sometimes that the Army was in Colombia or wherever it happened to be.
Exactly. You know, and it's really interesting is that every one of these veterans, when you start interviewing them, it's like peeling back an onion. They all have a story. But all of them have heartache. Everybody who served that's been in a traumatic situation really comes home with scars that are quite unusual. And to keep that in for the rest of their lives, I don't know how they do it, you know?
I don't know. It just took me a long time to realize that you can't keep it in all the time. And I was just... I can't remember the name. There was one of the stories in here that was I found really fascinating was a guy that was involved with the Ghost Army during World War II, right? And he eventually came out of the service. The Ghost Army was for our listeners real quickly were fake tanks and airplanes and people and everything else that Patton actually was in charge of. To fool the Germans and to think that we were going to attack France in a different place.
Right.
Short version, if I can get it right.
That's
but
right.
Then wasn't he the one that ended up working with the CIA? And
exactly. Yeah, he was involved totally with the CIA and counterintelligence, and he actually got involved in espionage and actually camouflaging of humans and. He could reconstruct ears and noses and give a total different face. And if you've ever watched the series on FX called The Americans and all the counterintelligent with the Russians and the disguises, this is what it was all about, you know, with him. And
he went into prosthetics after
that. Exactly. He is one of the best prosthetic manufacturers for actual custom prosthetics for the, you know, people who need help from the military who've lost a limb or whatever.
I know. I'm trying to find it in here. This guy was amazing. I mean, he does ears and hands and noses and eyeballs and all kinds of things. It's just a great little story. And so you can go from him, but then you also go to the Chuck Norris character from he was in the Korean War.
Yeah, you know,
time period.
And it was really interesting speaking to Chuck. And I talked to Chuck still. I've talked to him like three times since his interview. You know, he's a well-known actor, but he's incredibly shy, and he's one of the most genuine, honest people you've ever wanted to meet. And basically, what his story was is he was really good at martial arts, and he really had an interest in it, and he ended up, you know, training with that. And he had so much anxiety just to come into play with martial arts because he never thought he was good enough. He never thought he could do these things. And when he was into the military in Korea, he started looking even more with the Taekwondo, and all of a sudden it just clicked on him. And he gained the confidence, and he gained, you know, the ability to really understand, and he had a framework in the military that gave him a left and a right side. So he credits his military involvement with the martial arts to his overall success, sort of like cracking an egg open. That allowed him to grow and become eventually an actor because, you know, how things turn.
Right.
Somebody knows somebody.
There were many stories like that of how the military turned these people's lives around. One way, first of all, is when they joined, and then secondly, when they came back.
Right.
You know, and what had occurred to them overseas and whatever their conflict happened to be. We got to take a real quick break here. We're talking with Robert Miller. He's one of the authors of Veterans Voices, a new book coming out this coming Tuesday, published by National Geographic. We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We're back on Veterans Radio. I'm going to get to be your host today. My name is Dale Thronberry, and my guest is Robert H. Miller. He's one of the authors of Veterans Voices, and I better give Andrew Wakeford some credit there, too. I think he had something to do with it. And it's a remarkable story of heroism, sacrifice, and honor is what the PR piece came with it. But we've talked about some of the people that are involved, and I was fascinated by one of the stories of Bernice Armour. And Bernice was a pilot.
Right.
In the Marines. And not only was she a pilot, but she was the first black pilot. And unfortunately, she lost both of her legs.
Yes, she did. And remarkable woman, remarkable ability to move on and actually win over triumph. You know, she was lots of trauma, lots of anger, lots of a lot of things. And I can imagine if you would lose all your legs and just could never do it again. But she was the ability to pick things up and move forward and start a life. And she is actually, her story has meant a good breath to the book itself, because it gave us a foundation to say, wow, here's somebody who's really had trauma, who's really turned her life around and can live her example to go forward and actually, you know, come out of this whole thing and actually put a smile on her face. And being the accomplishment of being one of the first black pilots, that's a huge accomplishment. And she's given a lot to that.
Yeah.
And then if you couple that story with the other story, there's another story in there called Brian Forney. And Brian is an individual that actually was on a training mission in Taiwan, and he was practicing.
Oh, right. Yeah, he was on a Chinook.
Exactly. And what happened was that he was trying to land on one wheel to show. Winds caught it, and his rotor hit the tree. And basically what happened was a fireball, and he was actually trapped and given up for dead after some of the guys and the gals got out. But they ended up seeing his legs, and they were able to pull him out. And Brian is a remarkable person. It reminds me of Bernice as well. Mm-hmm. You know, his fortitude of survival was the most important thing for him. I mean, that was saving him. I mean, he literally lost his arm. He has severely burnt legs, which will require a brace on both for the rest of his life. Plastic surgery. I think he's had 160 surgeries. Yet he remains able to put a smile on his face, love his kids, love his wife, and actually put some meaningful things for going forward in society. And remarkable guy. I mean, Gary Sinise had the option. Actually, it was a time when Gary visited San Antonio Hospital. And I talked to Gary about Brian, and he goes, in the face of all this, Brian always even managed to smile, even when he was in the ICU. He wants more, and he did not want to sit there and just wallow in his pain and not continue to live. So those are the type of stories that mean a lot.
There are many stories like that in this book. It's a fascinating story, Veterans Voices. I encourage you, everybody, it's going to be available starting this coming Tuesday. You can probably pre-order it in some places.
Yeah, anywhere National Geographic books are sold, Amazon, you know, Barnes, you know, and Noble bookstores, small bookstores. So it's going
to
be.
I want to talk a little bit. I have to dig out the names here, but first of all, you also had World War II. So let me go back here and talk about Emma Didlake.
Yes, Emma.
110
years old. Yes. Really amazing gal. I met Emma last June when I got a call from the Freedom Center in Detroit Metropolitan Airport, which I'm pretty integrated with. And Emma was going to be on an honor flight with Talon's honor flight out of Grand Rapids. And they invited me to come out, and I did. And I said, I want to obviously put her in the book. So I interviewed Emma. And I did not go to Washington with her that day because it was a private jet. It would have been a little bit crowded. But I got her story at the very beginning. And it's just amazing. At 110, she was articulate, she was clear, she could smile, and she really had a vivid memory about what she did. Even though she drove a truck with honor at that time. She drove it as the most important part of her life, and she gave back to our country so that others can obviously be free, and we would, you know, all be free by winning the war. So her efforts went unbelievably noticed. But the interesting thing is she was black, and she was interesting that people just took it for granted at that time, even though there was a few generals that really appreciated her service. But she actually kept that dear to her heart, and people remembered her as she got older. And she became involved more and more as she became older. At 110, she went to see President Obama at the White House, and it was a splendid visit. Unfortunately, Emma died 3 weeks later of old age, peacefully, and her granddaughter was so pleased that she was able to be in this book. I told her that she was going to be in the book, and she loved it. And she just kept saying, "You think my smile's good enough?" And
yeah, the picture is great. The picture is great. The book itself is broken into 8 chapters, and you talk about inspiration, courage, resilience, and the stories about resilience are really powerful stories.
Because you
have men and women that have gone through just pure hell and have come out the other side, and are doing so many things for other people. And I'm trying to find the one in here, but and probably maybe off the top of your head you can remember the guy. There he is, Rick Iannucci.
Yes,
does the horses.
Yes,
Rick, Horses for Heroes.
Yes, yes.
Can you tell me about him and the other guy that went there?
Yeah, well, Rick is an amazing gentleman. You know, served and came out with lots of interesting trauma for him. But he got involved in horses for horse therapy. And what it was introducing veterans in New Mexico and on a state, literally, an area, that they could actually integrate themselves with nature and horses and horse therapy. And basically what they do is they spend some time together. They go riding. They get understanding what the horses are all about, how to care for them, just on a one-on-one level. And what he's done magically is been able to tie all this together in regards to the service people.
Mm-hmm.
So, he actually, it's almost like a therapy session that goes on all day long while you're out there. But it isn't like a therapy session sitting on a couch. It is just more of an interactive type play. And a lot of these people that come to him have a lot of trauma. They have a lot of trauma where they're actually frightened all the time, loud noises, shells, anything that goes off is really an issue. And these horses, spending time with them and developing a relationship and a bond mm-hmm. actually helps them deal with that. And he actually talks to them about their issues and things and blends it all together perfectly.
There was a line in here, I think it was his wife who said something about the horse knows what's going on. And she said, drawing on her years of experience, she said, a horse won't work with you if you are not calm and centered.
So
the whole idea is that to get the veteran to calm down a little bit and take control of his emotions. We've had people on the program, that talk about dogs the same way.
Right.
And I love this only because I'm a wannabe cowboy, and I'm looking at things, and one of the lines in here was something like called Cowboy Up, and I said, wow, this is great. Maybe I ought to run out there and help him. And he had a gentleman in the program. I'm trying to find his name here, if I can. Chris Chazen.
Chazen, yeah.
Who went through the program and then stayed.
Right. He stayed and became a teacher and literally got himself involved in the whole program. You know, you said an interesting thing in the quote in the book, as I was going to mention that. The horse, if you're really uptight, a horse wants nothing to do with you,
mm-hmm.
especially these horses. And you have to develop this relationship, so you're going to be forced to be calm. And this gentleman who went through the program, at the same time, he had to calm down and learn, and he loved it so much he wanted to give back. So it's one of those stories that intertwines together,
mm-hmm.
That's really powerful, that really means a lot.
It's a great story. And he's also, Chris was also had lost a leg.
Correct.
And so it's a great story. Before we run out of time, we have to get a local
person
that is in the book. It's not just veterans, but in Vietnam and World War II, and I'm not sure, they probably have them in Iraq and Afghanistan, and those were the Red Cross volunteer girls, better known as the Donut Dollies. So we got about 3 minutes to talk about our local Donut Dollies.
Yep, we have Joan Puffer Kotcher, a Rochester Hills resident that I met, And, you know, there's actually two Donut Dollies in the book. We decided that we wanted to have two. We have Holly Watts and Joan. And Joan's story is pretty amazing because Joan was thrusted into the battle area. I mean, in the deepest, darkest parts of the jungle. And literally, she had to make life and death decisions for herself, but also, too, since she was a civilian, to get the heck out of there, because obviously her responsibility was to help the soldiers, but at the same time, she was going to be under fire by the Viet Cong. And literally, the worst thunderstorm, tropical storm that came in, they actually had an airlift to get out of there, or else they would have been assassinated by the Viet Cong. And listening to her describe in great detail the air flight out and how scary and bumpy and dark and lost power, and just crazy. And she did it all with a smile, and she did it all and just was happy to be able to do it. And even today, I think she's pretty close to 70, she wears her Red Cross Donut Dolly uniform with pride, and she's happy, and she's got a book, and she communicates that to the world and lets everybody know.
Well, I wanted to make sure that we got Joanne involved in that, because she had been on our program, as Holly had been on also.
Yep.
And I think we're down to about a minute to go. It goes so fast.
It does.
It does go so fast. And I hope we can have you back on the program, Robert. And not about this one, about your father's book. I think that one sounds very interesting to me, too.
It's a definite shocker when you read that book.
Yeah. So the book is Veterans Voices, published by National Geographic. You can go out and get it starting Tuesday. You can probably go online and find it wherever National Geographic books are sold, and some of the other books. It's Robert H. Miller and Andrew Wakeford. Thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio. It's a great story, and you're local, so we can talk more about it anytime.
We can. It was a real pleasure, and thank you very much. And to all the listeners, thank you for listening.
All right. Our pleasure. Well, folks, that's another Veterans Radio is in the can, as they say. And we want to make sure that you tune in next week. Jim Falsone of Legal Help for Veterans will be your host. And then we've got Medal of Honors coming up on the 8th and the 15th of May. We've got two Medal of Honor recipients, one from Iraq, Afghanistan, and Sammy Davis from the Vietnam era. So we're very excited to do those. I encourage you to go to our website, listen to our podcast, listen to our archives. You know what you got to do. If you've got a story you want us to tell, contact us here at Veterans Radio. Till next week, you are dismissed.